Blog Talk Radio.
Well, all right. Good evening, or if you're in another part of the world today, it could be morning, good afternoon. Just welcome. Welcome to the Truth Train. This is Liberty Lisa. Thank you so much for joining me. And tonight we'll be discussing forgiveness, the physical and spiritual ramifications of forgiveness, or the impact of not forgiving. I'm going to roll out the intro and we'll be right back to the show. Thanks for joining in. Hold tight. Here comes that intro. Gotta love Renegade Smith. He made that intro for me. Thank you so much, Renegade. All right. Well, thanks for joining in this evening. And I've got to tell you, for those of you who know me, they know that I've come across as quite a bit of a warrior over the years. I battled with U.S. Bank in the courts for 4 years, relentlessly. And have been exposing truth right and left here on this network. Just realizing that this is a show, this is a time, you know, of good versus evil. And that really has come to light for me more than anything else over the years. I've noticed that in fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and having that warrior type attitude, which you even heard on my intro there, it's very draining, and it actually has physical ramifications as well. I mean, I've had some serious health issues, and it's made me sit back and reevaluate things. Not that I think it's wrong to fight for others. I definitely want to. However, there's something in me that's kind of switching over into kind of a more peaceful mode where I just really want to focus on the battle that we're in on a larger scale, not necessarily what these men and these hidden agendas are, although I will expose those things, but also focusing on your spiritual life and how you can power through these things with God and come out a victor on the other side and come out unscathed, because God has been on your side, because you didn't walk before him. You let him walk with you. So I know everybody has different beliefs, and for those of you who know me, they know that I am a Christian and I do believe in the Bible. That's one thing that definitely has gotten stronger. It's not changed and lessened, as many people in the truth community, they feel they've been duped by religion, and I disagree. I think that's pretty much the saving grace that we have, is really let's boil things down to the most minimalist in nature, and it is a spiritual battle. So one of the key issues, and the reason that I did this show, is there's a gentleman that's a good friend of mine, and I was speaking with him today, and he's been battling himself against some horrible, horrific things in his life, whereas actually his children have been taken from him. And if from a position of sympathy or empathy, I cannot imagine how horrific that would be to know that your children are not safe and in good keeping and in a situation that you can control and raising them and that sort of a thing. And for those of you who are any sort of amount of awake at all, know that the system is incredibly corrupt from the rooter to the tutor. And we're essentially slaves, you know, and we're essentially, it's all done through trickery and shadows and mirrors and smoke and magic. And it can be very disheartening sometimes to see all these bad things happening to good people and to see how it wrecks their lives. I mean, my house was stolen from me based on fraudulent paperwork and an invalid chain of title. And I knew it. I had proof of everything. And I never got my day in court. And it made me really sit back and realize just how corrupt things were. And it had me pray and ask God, show me how they've gotten away with this. And he has. He showed me a lot of stuff that I used to kind of make fun of, you know, the sovereigns are talking about, and it's all true. It's all true. And we've been taken over. So learning, I'm like, okay, this is not the answer either. Knowing what's going on and just talking about that is not the answer either. And that's part of my friend's struggle is he doesn't want to just talk about it. He wants to do something. And I get that. I understand that. That's the human response. That's the natural response. However, also a fleshly response. And when we try to take control and take things over, we're acting basically, it's kind of like when you're with God and you're walking with God and you're talking to him and you're giving him attention, for people who are more spiritual, not Christian, you're tuning into the spirit, you're slowing down, you're listening to, let's say you call it the universe, however you want to, you know, classify this in your head, you know what I'm talking about. You're more introspective, you slow down, you pray, you meditate, you think about things, you don't just go forward. When you go forward because of your emotions, because of the impact of all these horrible things that are being done to you, and you go in your own energy and your own resources, we're still human. And you have to understand that eventually on your own, it will fail. And you could end up in jail. You could end up dead. You could end up, there's so many things that could happen to you because you've moved outside of that protection. There's a protection that God offers or spirituality offers, however your belief system is. And part of that protection is also when you're walking in forgiveness. And that's a hard one. It's very tough. When you have been hurt, wounded, stolen from, disrespected, treated as a slave, treated so badly, the natural response, the human response is always going to be to fight. You know, it's not a natural thing to not fight. And so I wanted to do a show today about forgiveness and the impact of that, and how if we can actually let go of some of these things, not to say that we're letting go of our children or of our house or of whatever we're fighting for, but letting go of our control over that and basically slowing down and giving God the room that he needs to direct us. It's more kind of like you're walking with a friend, and that friend that you're walking with is your, let's say, bodyguard. And you see something ahead of you that you feel like you need to run and attend to, but maybe your bodyguard, you know, just the way they are, they walk slow, and that's how they are. So you don't want to miss that opportunity. So you feel you've got to run, but you know if you do, you're leaving that bodyguard behind. That's what happens when we run forward and do things on our own and in our own strength. And so it's a lot wiser to turn to your bodyguard and say, okay, I see this situation up ahead. I know that we can't run. So what's your plan? How are we going to handle this? And that's all we're talking about here, is just disengaging from ourselves having complete and total and utter control, and allowing for our Creator to move us and to guide us and to do things, you know, in his manner. If you truly believe that God has, you know, created this universe and created us, and, you know, has these immense powers, then we should also be able to release our minor, they're not minor to us, but to him in perspective would be minor, our problems, and allow him to work, you know, in our lives. So again, the issue is forgiveness. Now, I went ahead and I took a lot of time today, and I was posting comments in the show promo. And in those comments, let's see here, let me go back up. In these comments, I've got great men and women of history talking about forgiveness. I think this is the first step, is to walk forward in a peaceful manner and to not take over and to take control. We have to be able to slow down and forgive. And if we get wrapped up in the anger and the hatred and the people that are victimizing us, well, the end result is, you know, it's not good. The bottom line is, what do you want the end result to be? What are the long-term ramifications of your decisions? And not just what feels good now, not just what seems right now, but what are the long-term ramifications? And in the instance of my friend, I said to him, hey, you know, if you do something here that is rash and impulsive, where does that leave your children? What do they have left in this world? And if the whole motive for wanting to act rash and impulsive is the children, then you have to look at the long-term ramifications. So don't move without God. All right, so how do we walk forward with God when we're so victimized and angry, and we see it and other people don't see it, and it's frustrating, and we want to tell the world, we want to do it, whatever we have to do. One of the first things and most important things that we can do is develop a sense of humility, of forgiveness, of basically, again, slowing down and walking with your bodyguard. You know, it's the best way I can describe this to you. Martin Luther King said, Jr., we must develop and maintain the capacity to forgive. He who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. There is some good in the worst of us and some evil in the best of us. When we discover this, we are less prone to hate our enemies. That's one of the things that I was discussing with my friend. My dog is going cuckoo. Hold on. Sorry about that. My dog howls at overhead planes. So, all right. So, again, Martin Luther King Jr. had said, he who is devoid of the power to forgive is devoid of the power to love. What is the number one command? Love your neighbor, right? That's the main reason we're here on this earth, is learning to show and demonstrate love, the love of God to each other. If we did that, if we took the time and the energy and the resources of our, you know, our thought life and our plans and our motivations and thought about, how can I love on somebody else? How can I make this world a better place? It's not all just exposing the truth, because if you expose the truth, and you don't give people solutions, and you expose the truth, and you don't offer hope, then you're just adding to the power of fear. You're adding to the power of hopelessness. And I believe we can do better than that. So, there's some good in the worst of us, some evil in the best of us. That's understanding that, hey, we are all flawed, all of us, every single one. And when we look at others and say, they're evil, I'm not, that's not true. We all have our flaws, all of us. And those who think that they don't have flaws, that's pride, because it's not true. And pride is invisible to itself. It's one of those spiritual things that you can't even see, but others can see it. We're all flawed. So in that, it makes us less prone to hate our enemies. Okay, now that brings me back. Again, I know not everybody believes in the Bible, but we're just talking basic wisdoms here. And this all ties in, is that we're in a battle here, not with flesh and blood, not with Joe and Judge so-and-so and, you know, officer so-and-so and what, whoever named the names. We're in a battle with literally demonic forces, angelic forces. There's a battle. There's a battle behind every physical battle. And so our job is not to judge these people. That's God's job. Our job is to operate in the highest caliber that we can spiritually in that situation, to be an example to the other, and to somehow, through all the muck and mess, be able to have the capacity to love and to forgive and to show God's light. And that's the toughest part. Marianne Williamson said, forgiveness is not always easy. At times it feels more painful than the wound we suffered. To forgive the one that inflicted it. And yet, there is no peace without forgiveness. That is so profound, because it is true. When you operate in hatred or anger, you know, zealousness, you're constantly wrapped in those feelings, and it drains you. it's not a necessarily from God. A lot of times they're from ourselves and in our own flesh. There are times when God will have us do things and move in those sort of ways. But again, it's kind of like walking with your bodyguard and slowing down and being able to listen and being able to see what's the best way to move in this and move forward in this. And if forgiveness was an easy thing, if love was an easy thing, you know what? It wouldn't be from God. It wouldn't be the higher path. It wouldn't be the straight and narrow. It's always harder to do the right thing. And the end result is always a more peaceful path. Also, Marianne Williamson, by the way, all these quotes that I put in there, I also wrote a background of these people. For those of you who don't know, Marianne Deborah Williamson is an American spiritual teacher, author, and lecturer. She has published 11 books, including 4 New York Times number one bestsellers. She said, "The practice of forgiveness is our most important contribution to the healing of the world." Now, think about that for a minute. To the healing of the world. We all talk about this is hell on earth, this is so bad, this is, you know, but it's, and yes, there is a lot of darkness, and it is rather bad. However, there is still light, there is still hope, there is still truth, there is still love, there is still kindness. There are still wonderful things going on around us. But if you focus only on the negative and you only talk about negative solutions, then the end result is going to be negative. But if you can slow down, realize that you're not the only one, you shouldn't be the one in control. Let's just put it that way. Give some of that control over, you know, to your higher power, to God. And then in that, you'll have a lot more peace. And practicing forgiveness, practicing loving, in other words, making conscious choices every day. The Bible says, choose this day whom you serve. And it's really like that. Every day, every moment, we have to literally choose. Do I want to be a vessel of love? Do I want to be a vessel of peace? What am I going to do to make this world a better place? I do try. I, you know, when I'm driving down the road, if I see a homeless person, you know, I'll literally say, okay, you know, God, do you want me to do something for this person? Is there something I'm supposed to say to them and or give them or, you know, whatever? So many of us want to judge them and say, okay, this individual is an alcoholic or, you know, a meth head or whatever. But what you don't understand is the spiritual truth of it doesn't matter what they do with the help that you give them. What matters is, did you give it to them or not? You know, Jesus said when he was on the earth, you know, when you visit those in prisons, you visit me. When you give people who are thirsty a glass of water, you do it for me. When you give them food to the hungry, you do it to me. You're doing it to God. You're giving your acts of love and kindness are not unseen. They don't go into a void. It all matters. You don't know that person's life. Were they molested? Were they, you know, kicked out of the house at age 12? Were they, you know, raped and abused their whole life? Are they just broken people that have no hope and don't have the strength to aspire for more, who don't believe that they're worth more? Why not be a light in their day? Why not be, you know, the light in the darkness? And I think if we all took the time to really start making an impact in the world, you may have noticed on my show promo, I chose this heart of stone, and then there's some circles around it. And it has a couple meanings. The heart, and I know people have different belief systems, like they might look at that as vibrations or however, you know, you want to look at it, but it's all the same thing. Basically, that our hearts have impacts, whether it's a stone, whether, you know, it's a heart of flesh and softness. Everything through the heart is what has an impact. If you look at the life of Jesus on this earth, he actually, you know, didn't care as much about all the things going on politically and all that. He didn't want to get involved. He wasn't there to take over kingdoms in that sense. He was more concerned about the kingdom of our heart. And that's what's important. That's what's important. What's going on in your heart? You know, I went to this church called the Heritage Christian Center for years, and I love that church. And my pastor, the head pastor there is Bishop Dennis Leonard, or Pastor Dennis Leonard. Some call him by either. And I'll never forget this one time he made a sermon about forgiveness. And it had such a strong impact because of the way that he told it. And let me explain this to you, and, you know, hopefully it'll have the same impact as well. I guess, you know, in medieval ages, if you, in a certain community, and I don't remember the exact details, but if you did something wrong to somebody, you killed them or whatever, they would strap that dead body to you. Like, literally, you're now attached to that dead body and you're dragging it around. You're dragging it around everywhere you go. And what happens to dead bodies? They start decomposing, right? Can you imagine a decomposing body right next to your skin? What that would do? It would kill you, and it does. So this person has to walk around town dragging this dead body, waiting for them to decompose, and slowly all of those diseases caused by the decomposition of that body enter into that living human being, and then they die. And it's a slow, horrible, tragic death. But he said this is a great analogy of what happens with unforgiveness. When you are walking in unforgiveness in your life, you're literally carrying this dead body around with you. And the truth of the matter is, that person doesn't care whether you forgive them or not. They're moving on. They're doing their own thing. So forgiveness isn't necessarily for them. It's for you as well, because that's what allows you to cut away that dead body that you're dragging around. And I know it's not natural to want to do that. We all feel like we want a sense of vindication. We all want a sense of justice. We all want a sense of, you know, well, damn it, that's wrong. And I'm going to show that, you know, my way is right. However, we have to look at the end result. You know, how are we going about this? You know, what is the most positive way that we can do this? And, and walk through this. And if we slow down and talk to God, listen to our bodyguard, you know, he'll teach us how to release that burden to him. Let me handle that for you. Let me take that off of you. I'll handle that. And we have to do that through releasing and forgiving and loving and allowing your heart to be a heart of flesh, tenderness. Well, it looks like I've got some people on the line. I've got so much more I want to talk about, but I'm going to go ahead and bring my friend Greg Todd. I see that he's online. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Hey, Lisa. How are you, honey? Thank you for a wonderful show, and thank you for all the time and energy you dedicated to me, bringing me back from self-will, because I'm human and I get into self-will. And I'm not of the feminine persuasion. I'm 100% of the masculine persuasion. And, you know, my wife will pick up a package of meat in the store, and she believes that's how it got there. She doesn't understand that some man killed the animal, gutted it, butchered it, and did that for her. So, you know, there is a time and place for the man to do what he has to do and for the woman to be the guide. In this case, your feminine persuasion, your softness, your loving kindness prevailed at the right time. There is a time and place to defend yourself. There is a time and place to defend against Nazi Germany or Japan. Otherwise, we'd be speaking Japanese and German. And if you don't believe that, you can ask God, because God is the one who guided us into the victories. There is a time to die for what you believe in. There are those times to have action. But you're 100% correct in saying not to leave your bodyguard. You're 100% correct in saying if you're stupid enough to take self-will back and not time it in God's timing, then it's self-will run riot. And self-will run riot will get you in jail, will get you in prison, will get you killed without any results. And God said clearly to me 3 months ago that I must wait on him. He told me I'll have my children this year. I've been agitated and aggravated, and I want it now. And these people that have taken over our country need to be removed. Every member of the bar is a crime syndicate, mafia member, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, they're bar members. They are the scum of this earth. They abuse children. They kidnap children. They steal people's property. Our country is occupied 100%. If you don't believe that, oh, well. Watch and see what's coming, because you know of my vision. Markets will crash. It'll be currency. Mother Earth will be in an upheaval. It's already started. In the next 2 years, this will all come to pass. That being said, again, you're right. There's a time and place for the feminine persuasion to be dominant and to say, hey, Greg, wait on God. And I gotta give you props for that in the energy you took and not giving up on me, because I was ready to take my will back. I am ready to defend my children at all cost. Not only did they have my children kidnapped, but they're with their mother, whose own family's testified she's insane, that she's pure evil, that her face contorts, that she's possessed. This is the testimony of her family. But
That's the point.
I understand we have a spiritual battle we're fighting, and you know, right. But again, all evil is of spirit. Hitler was of the worst evil spirit on the planet. So anytime you fight evil, it's an evil spirit. Not just now, although these times were foretold, and this is the final spiritual battle, but it's always about your soul, and Christ made that very clear. All that matters is your soul. Nothing else matters. And you have to wait on God. And if God tells me to go to war, and defend Nazi, you know, and to kick Nazi Germany's ass, or to go in and take out a corrupt judge, then so be it. But it will be from the voice of God, not from the voice of Greg Todd's head, because Greg Todd can convince himself to do almost anything. But I'm a peaceful being. I don't own a gun. I don't like violence. But I tell you this, as a United States Marine, you know that. It has nothing to do with being a hero. It has everything to do with defending the defenseless. I've been defending the defenseless since I'm a child. And there are some horrific human beings on this planet. Catholic priests that molest children, the Vatican. The Vatican is the greatest representation of Satan there is on this planet. If you know, you don't know that, you're just in denial. The Pope is just a front. He's a liar. He's representative of the Vatican and the crown and these people that control this, all resources on this planet. And we, the people, need to defend ourselves somehow. And if you think prayer is enough, then go stand in front of the meat cooler and pray for God to send you some food. Go sit up on a hill and pray and see if God delivers you that steak. There's a time and place for action. Yes, you have to go kill that cow. Yes, you have to go pull those collard greens out of the ground and cook them. If you think they're just brought to you through prayer and meditation, that's some bogus bullshit.
Hey,
so there's a time and place for action, whether it's killing the cow or going to war in Nazi Germany. There's a time and place. But you're right, Lisa. You best wait on that bodyguard. And one last thing. One of the greatest men I ever met was a little old man. He used to walk around Hallandale Beach, Florida. Seen him all the time. He in his late 90s. And he always seemed happy, waving to everybody. Finally, one day, he lived in our building, and I got in the elevator, and there he was. And I said hi to him. I said, "You're an amazing person. You're so energetic. You walk so many miles for your age." And then I noticed a tattoo on his left arm. And I looked down, and I said, "Auschwitz?" And he said, "Well, yes." And the elevator opened. He got on the lobby, and I was supposed to go down to the garage and get my car, but I got out. And I said, "Sir, can I talk to you?" And he said, "Why, sure." And I asked him about it. He told me how they tortured his parents and he killed his other brothers and sisters. And I listened to in horror of the story. And at the end of the story, I said, "So how did you overcome all this?" He goes, "I was little, number one. I was 5 or 6 years old." And he said that we were liberated by the American Army. That's right, liberated. And that's what I am. I'm a liberator. And I will come liberate you and any one of us in this country. You can count on me to do that when God gives me the time. When the timing comes, I swear to God to you, I will liberate your children. Because I'd rather die than sit here and let these scumbags hurt our children. That being said, I got to wait on God. And I said to him, "How do you stay so happy?" And he said, "I forgave them." So I assure you, everything Lisa is saying is true. I assure you, in the feminine, everything she's saying is right. And at this time, I yield to that. I yield to her wisdom, her contact to God. And she's correct. I must stand down at this time because I cannot leave my bodyguard because I believe in God myself. I have an understanding. I believe in Christ. I believe in everything I believe he said. Not what other people said he said, but what I believe he said. So she's correct in putting me in check. And I'm grateful to you for that, Lisa Liberty. Liberty Lisa, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for that. But be assured to everybody in my voice, when God calls me to action, there's not nothing I won't do to defend your children or my children. And these sons of bitches who have our children are the scum of the earth. They are of Satan himself. And it is a spiritual battle, and you cannot go into this battle without God with you. You will lose it. So I stand again, and I yield. I yield to you and your callers, Lisa.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. Well, like I said, I get it. I understand how frustrating this whole thing, especially once you've gone down the rabbit holes and you start discovering how much we've been lied to on literally every level. And we see so much corruption and so much tyranny and oppression and control. And the way I was operating, you know, as far as me coming across as a warrior, is I was looking at the verses in the Bible that says, "Rescue the oppressed, uphold the cause of the widow and the orphan and the hungry," and that was kind of like my motivating factor. I'm like, no, I'm gonna, you know, isn't this God's chosen fast, you know, to loose the bands of the oppressed? To, you know, uphold the case of the widow and the orphan and the hungry and the needy. And, you know, I looked at it as the same kind of vein that you're talking about, that I'm, you know, a warrioress, you know, for God. However, you can't live in that mode. It's draining spiritually. It's draining physically. It's draining emotionally, and it can end up in some very bad places. So a wiser path is to be able to assess all these things and see these things and talk about these things. And then also turn them around and say, okay, God, how can I be the light in this? How can I be love in this? How can I be peace in this? How can I take this situation and make you proud? How can I take this situation and show love to my fellow man? And that's the call of God. And it's not easy. It's not for the timid at heart. You want to be brave. You want to be someone who truly has power and fortitude in your life. Try submitting your will under the will of God. I double dog dare you. Not easy, especially when you see the things that we see. I'm going to continue with some of these quotes because they're precious. So again, Marianne Williamson, an American spiritual teacher, author, and lecturer, who's published 11 books, including four New York Times number one bestsellers, said the practice of forgiveness is the most important contribution to the healing of this world. Most important contribution to the healing of this world. And then we have Maya Angelou is an American poet, memoirist, civil rights activist. She published 7 autobiographies, 3 books of essays, several books of poetry, and was credited with a list of plays, movies, and television shows spanning for 50 years. She said, "It's one of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself to forgive. Forgive everybody." Again, if you go back to what I was saying earlier, when you are holding resentment against people, it doesn't affect them. They've moved on. They've done whatever they've done. They're not thinking about you. You're wrapped up in that moment. You're wrapped up in that mess. And it's going to corrupt you. It's going to slowly kill you. It's like the story that my pastor was talking about, how in the olden days they used to strap, if you killed someone, they'd strap that dead body to you and let it rot through to you and kill you. And you drag that thing around. That's what unforgiveness does. You hate, there's unforgiveness, you know you're right, you know you're justified, they don't deserve it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's all true. But guess what? We didn't deserve our forgiveness from God either. And we've done many things and offenses against him, and yet he's forgiven us. If you're a Christian, you will understand that what I do is that Jesus came to take all of our sins on him. He sacrificed himself for our sins so that we could be in right communion with God. So he forgave us, even though we didn't deserve it. So we, in turn, are asked to forgive others, even though they don't deserve it. That doesn't necessarily mean that God doesn't have you, you know, move in action and do things. It doesn't mean inaction. If you look at the Bible, it says knock and the door shall be opened to you. Knocking is an action. Ask, it shall be given to you. Asking is an action. Seek, and you shall find. Seeking is an action. It doesn't say sit on your butt, pray some magic words, and alakazabra, everything will happen. It's not how it works. It's more of like you're walking and talking with your best friend, and you're communing with this person, this individual, this, you know, your best friend, your bodyguard, God. And you know, hey, God, this really hurts me. Hey, God, like, I really want to do something about this. What would you, in your infinite wisdom, have me do? And sometimes he'll answer you right away, and sometimes he won't. And he just wants you to be still and wait and listen. Mahatma Gandhi said, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is the attribute of the strong." And that's the truth. Like I said, forgiveness and love is the higher path. It's the narrow road. It's the tougher thing, but it's the right thing. Louis B. Smeeds. Louis Benedict Smeeds was a renowned Christian author, ethicist, and theologian, in the Reformed tradition. He was professor of theology and ethics for 25 years at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California. And he said, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." Again, forgiveness is not for the people that you're forgiving. It's for yourself. When you forgive, you're releasing all that hatred, all that negative energy, all that junk.
I'm sorry. And that's good for something that happened in the past. But, you know, when somebody hits you in the hammer 2 seconds ago, hits you in the head with a hammer, and you forgive them, and they do it again, 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 and they do it again every day, the forgiveness becomes a defense. This has nothing to do with total forgiveness. There's forgiveness in there so you don't grow hatred in your heart. But you're talking about a past event. You know, happened last week, 6 years ago, 6 months ago, 5 years ago. That you carry around with you, you have to forgive because it's a poison for you. But when you get up in the morning and someone hits you in the head with a hammer and you forgive them and they continue to do that, or they're kidnapping your children and your children are screaming for you, "Daddy, help me," every day, and you do nothing but sit there and say, "I'm going to forgive them," I'd rather rot in hell.
It's not about doing nothing. You're not doing nothing. You're doing the divine thing.
We're doing nothing.
Hey, Greg, it's not doing nothing. That's where you're wrong. When you are actually empowering God to work on your behalf, something is going on in the background. You've got to pray. You've got to spend. It's not just a matter of just forgiving. You also have to pray. God, you know, work in this situation on my behalf. I know you will. I trust you. You keep going back to I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And when
because
you do that, you're
becomes down to that. God doesn't do for us what we must do for ourselves, like kill that cow and butcher it so you can eat it. You got to understand it takes action. The Bible says it too, Lisa. Faith without works is death. Faith without works is death. God will not do for me. You think would God kill Hitler? God didn't kill Hitler. God didn't fight Nazi Germany.
Is prayer an action?
And that's right, honey. It's a combination. So
on
the feminine side, we need to, side, let's lean to the fact that the cow jumped in there himself and that we're not speaking German today because God did it. I have news for you. It's a joint venture. Yes, you can't go without God, but it takes action. It takes us taking up arms sometimes. Sometimes it takes killing people. Sometimes it takes killing animals so you can eat. There has to be faith.
Greg, you keep focusing. Honey, you keep focusing on one thing. You're thinking that by forgiving and by loving and by praying and by giving it to God, you're not taking action. You are taking action. That is an action. You are actually, you're surrendering your will and what you want to do to God so he can move on your behalf. The moment that you step out and do this on your own, then you don't have that protection anymore. It's like God is your bodyguard. You've got to be able to slow your roll and allow for him to work. Here's the thing. You either believe that God can do it or you don't. And that's where it boils down to, is a lack of faith. If you feel that you have to go and do something violent and upheaval, you have to do that, then you've lost faith in God. If God told you that he's working on your behalf and something's going to work out on your behalf this year, then rest in that. Rest in that. Believe that. It's a walk of faith. It's a difficult walk, especially in these hard times. You know, I'm not saying to do nothing. Absolutely. Pray. Work on your heart. Work on forgiveness. Ask God for direction. You know, he might have you, you know, file something. He might have you, you know, somehow do something to manipulate some circumstances to get things rolling in a certain direction, possibly. But you have to slow down and stop the... You've got this drive, a really, really strong drive for action. And I understand. I understand about you got to kill an animal to eat it. Great. Okay, fine. We're not talking about that. Let me tell you, God has provided for me my entire life, no matter what the circumstances. And you know what it is? It's not because I'm something special. It's not because I'm better than anyone else. It's because I have faith in him. And even in the worst circumstances, let me give you an example. So I was evicted from my home, as you all know. I'm out in Colorado. I've got no money. I've got no job. I haven't been working because you can't fight in the court system full time. It's basically your own lawyer. You can't fight in the court system full time and still have a job. It's impossible. There's hours and hours and hours of research. You've also got to compose things and edit things and check case law and on and on and on. And anyone who's been in that mess knows what I'm talking about. The full-time effort when you're doing it on your own. Even though I had people that were assisting me, it was something that I had ultimate responsibility for. I had to sign the document. I had to copy them. I spent thousands of dollars on copies. I spent thousands of dollars on delivering these things in the post office. It was everything in me to get what done the fight that I had. I had 8 court cases that I was fighting at the same time for years. And that's part of, again, why it drained me so much. There's battle, fight, you know, going into their system, their corrupt system, trying to follow their corrupt rules to no avail. Very frustrating, but very hardcore. And it left me in a position when I'm in this foreclosure situation where I have nothing. They're going to take my home. I didn't have a place to live, really. I mean, my boyfriend, Austin, he lived in Las Vegas. He offered me to go to Las Vegas. I wanted to stay in Colorado. That was my home. I'd lived there my whole life. That's where my family was. That's where my church was. My friends were, you know, my memories of my entire life. So I'm going through physical ailments. I'm going through mental exhaustion. I have zero money to my name. And I'm like, okay, God, how am I going to move from here to Vegas with no money? I have a friend who had a show on this network, and he was a truck driver. He went to his company, and they offered a 52-foot commercial truck to come to my house for free and take me all the way to Vegas. And all I was supposed to pay for was the gas on it. Well, I didn't, in the end, didn't even have to pay for that. God moved this guy's heart to not even pay for the gas, which was good because I didn't really have the money. I needed money to move into a house out here with Austin. He didn't have the money saved up. I didn't have the money saved up. I put it out on Facebook. The Bible says you have not because you asked not. That was an action. I put it out on Facebook. I need a loan if anyone can loan to me. Obviously, my credit's not great. You know, I don't have much to offer, but you guys have seen me in this fight. And if, you know, if you feel led, please let me know. Somebody, a complete stranger, lent me $5,000. $5,000. No credit, no nothing, no collateral. Sent me a check. All I had to do was send, you know, weekly payments for the next year. And I paid that guy off. I kept my word, and I paid that off.
Lisa, you there? Lisa, can you hear me? I'll call back in.
Hey guys, sorry about that. This is Liberty Lisa. Occasionally when you are in activism, you get booted out of shows and spammed and all kinds of things happen. But let me finish my story. So in the most dire circumstance, I had no money. I had no hope of anything happening for me. I had no credit. I had nothing. I had strangers giving in to me into my situation. That's God. That's how we can be the light to each other. That's how we can be love to each other. That's how we can help each other through these horrible things. You know, if people are thirsty, give them something to drink. If they're hungry, give them something to eat. If they're suffering, be their friend, be their support. You know, pray for them. Hold their hand. Hold their head up. So I got out here to Vegas, and I thought I'd hate it. I just was intent on being out here for a year or so and trying to talk Austin and coming back. Like, I don't want to live in Sin City, but it's been so nice. It's, like, warm all the time, and, you know, it's too hot in the summer, but I don't care. 9 months of warm is a good trade-off for me. And I love it. You know, there's plenty of things to do. Yeah, granted, it's Sin City, and there's, you know, plenty of bad things around. But, see, I just look at that as opportunities. I look at that as there's a lot of hurting people out here that I could minister to and do some really neat things with. So it turned out being a blessing, you know? And I built up credit with this guy. I've established a relationship with him. We might be going into business in the future. But this is what I'm talking about. You know, how God can work through a very, very negative situation and turn it around for your good. For those of you who know the Bible or respect it, I will quote it once in a while. Please don't be offended. Romans 8:28. Says, for we know that all things work together for the good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purposes. I call that God's insurance plan. Because it is. No matter how we jack up our own lives, no matter how we screw things up, he can turn it around for our good. And it's a beautiful thing. Folks, don't lose your hope. Don't lose your faith. Don't lose your love. These things are more precious and more valuable than anything else. You know, this world is just backwards. everything looks like, you know, what's important in this world is not important. When Jesus walked the earth, he was concerned about not the politics of the day, not, you know, what the Sanhedrin was doing, not what Caesar was doing, none of that stuff. All he cared about was the condition of your heart. And that's what's important. All he cared about was walking and talking, you know, with him. And so earlier we were talking about how, you know, God is kind of like your bodyguard. And it's not, I'm not saying we can't take action. Things aren't going to go down in the future. It most certainly is. It's going to be very interesting in the future. We've got some market crashes, you know, that are going to be occurring. And I don't think America is going to look, it's going to be war-torn third world country looking after a period of time. It's going to be a nightmare. And in that time, there's going to be some that are very passionate about fighting and the guns and the weapons and all that other stuff. I understand that. And thank God for them, because in a sense, you know, we need that. However, you know, also, what is our individual roles inside of that? You know, what can, how can we support each other? How can we help each other through that? It's going to take a community. It's going to take, you know, I see that you need this, I've got this, together, let's plan together. And that's the bottom line, is the most important thing in this life, the most important thing in this life is loving other people. That's what it is. That's the magic solution. That's the thing that, you know, we're all looking for. What? Why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? Well, it's pouring into other people. It's showing the love of God. And if you've got children, you know, that's also your ministry. You know, raising them up and teaching them the right ways and helping them to be the light in the next generation. So I see, Greg, that you're back on the line. I lost you for a minute. I'm definitely going to bring you back in. Thank you, Greg Todd, for joining the show. Greg Todd's a friend of mine, and he's going through a little bit of hell himself. He's the one who inspired me to do this show today. Because he's trying to make some moves without his bodyguard. Thank God that God has opened his heart to reevaluate some of that stuff and keep on track. So, folks, don't lose hope. I'm going to take it to a few ads real quick. Please hang tight. This is going to be a great show. We're going to talk about a lot of things. And if you want to talk when we come back in about 5 minutes, just press number one and we'll bring you in. I'd love to hear from you.
Hi, this is David Bozell, Vice President of Crystal Pure CBD. Have you been trying to get CBD, but you just don't like what's available? Sure, lots of people can get CBD, but most people don't realize that it's only 15% CBD and 85% black stuff. Why the black stuff? We don't know either. We'd like to introduce Crystal Pure CBD, made with 99.99% pure cannabidiol. That's pure CBD, just like sugar. We mix it with hemp seed oil and make some of the best stuff on earth. Crystal Pure CBD.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and he's a running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is the Mouth, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dadco Transportation. Family-owned and operated, Dadco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dadco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dadco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dadcotrans.com. That's DABCOTRANS.com. But I can never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. This is an historic moment. When we are successful, we will be a new world order.
One and only original Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
A new world order. An order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
Who is getting your money? If you are being hijacked by corruption in your government, you will quickly realize that you are stuck with no way out. Find out how your life, family, and assets can be stolen from you while you are the one paying for it. Join me, Debbie Carroll, at the fourth branch, The Truth Emerges, on Blog Talk Radio, Thursday nights from 6 to 8 Pacific Time. We need everyone on board to understand what is happening and put a stop to this evil corruption.
You're listening to The Truth Train with Liberty Lisa. Join the second hour by calling 1-347-855-8301.